Today it's a conversation with Chris Steyerwalt, the political editor at News Nation. I had a chance to talk to him just before the show today. He could not join us live. We talked about the upcoming town hall meeting on News Nation tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Elizabeth Vargas will be the host. My first question to Chris was this. Can you just describe for us how this town hall is going to look on TV? What are we going to see?
Well, I mean, Chicago, right in the heart of the country. Elizabeth will be with RFK Jr. in our Chicago HQ. There'll be a live audience there, and there will be voters coming from key early primary states to ask their questions remotely. And it will be very interesting.
I'm thinking of the CNN interview with Donald Trump where there was a live studio audience in New Hampshire. Will there be a live studio audience? Will there be advocates for RFK Jr.?
We're not going to have a cheering section. The goal here is to have real inquiry. We have great questions from audience members who are coming with open minds. We want people who have sincere questions, who are really trying to make up their mind about the 2024 presidential election. And then Elizabeth, great journalist that she is, will be their advocate, right? She will make sure that what they want to know gets heard, but this is not a rah-rah, sis, boom, bah situation. This is about a serious question. Kennedy's had a great run in terms of gaining attention, gaining notoriety. It's time for him to have a frank conversation with Democratic voters in the nationally and in these key states about why it's necessary for the party to throw over an incumbent president and roll the dice on somebody else.
Has that happened before? Has an incumbent survived or lost a challenge by a member of his own party when he's up for re-election? I'm trying to think of when that's happened.
In 1968, RFK's father, RFK Sr., basically forced Lyndon Johnson out of the Democratic nominating contest. LBJ had a weak showing in the New Hampshire primaries. RFK got in the race. Johnson got out of the race. That was a political earthquake. Of course, later in June of that year, RFK Sr. was assassinated at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, California, after winning that state's primaries. So we have a history not just of that, but also of about another Kennedy, about Ted Kennedy, the candidate's uncle, who in 1980 created huge headaches for Jimmy Carter in his candidacy and took him to the primary, gave a now infamous address in which he didn't embrace Carter and didn't throw himself behind the party, but spoke of himself and the Kennedy's family's mission. So primary challenges just within the Kennedy family are a thing.
That's an interesting observation. I'd like to think I'm open to the idea of not anointing an incumbent, but rather entertaining a real primary challenge, even to an incumbent. But one wonders if Robert Kennedy Jr. here is a candidate polling in double digits, albeit them low ones, 17, 18, maybe even 20%, as a result of his last name. Are they his ideas that are propelling him, or how much of it is him trading on his name?
So I think initially you'd have to say it was the name. That's what got him in the door, because he's never held public office before. He spent a lot of time as an environmental advocate, and then, of course, more recently, an anti-vaccine or a vaccine skeptic, or however he wants to describe it, but as a public policy advocate for decades. But he's never run for office before. And yes, I think you could say that those first relatively big numbers, right? As you said, we saw some 20s, which is pretty remarkable. I think those were the result of a famous name. Now something interesting is happening, which is because of the anti-vax stuff and because of some other things, Kennedy has really caught on with what you would describe maybe as the populist nationalist side of things. He did an interview with Joe Rogan that got tons of attention. He is certainly getting more popular among Republicans. He is getting his own notoriety. I don't know that that's helping him with Democrats yet. If he really wants to shape this race, he's got to connect with Democratic primary voters.
Is it your job, is it News Nation's job to sort of vet the viability of a candidate before you give them this platform?
I don't think you want to just start pulling people off the street and giving them town hall.
Will you do this for Marianne Williamson, for instance?
Kennedy's numbers for me and the fact that he is drawing this much attention and is in the conversation so much, especially these days, I think merits a closer look. I think it merits inspection. I think that what is different between him and Marianne Williamson we heard from Marianne Williamson last go-around, and she's not putting up more impressive numbers than she was last time. She doesn't seem to be more engaged than she was last time. I'm less curious, I guess, is what I would have to say. Kennedy, I find a fascinating figure right now, again, because he is drawing so much from the right and the left and stirring up all of this stuff.
I wonder, too, if it's not his name now, but some of his thoughts, some of his ideas, particularly about the vaccine, if that's what it is. And if there is a danger in News Nation giving oxygen or a platform to ideas that aren't helpful. Again, I'm asking you if you should be vetting him for that reason as well. This is what The Atlantic said in their most recent issue. Kennedy has promoted a theory that Wi-Fi radiation causes cancer. He suggested that antidepressants might have contributed to mass shootings. He believes Ukraine is engaged in a proxy war and that the United States has let it happen. He wrote that book, The Real Anthony Fauci, where he connects Fauci to Big Pharma. And he is really one of the principal anti-vaxxers in the country. So, yeah, that will get traction, maybe 20%, maybe even 20% of Republicans. But how serious is this candidacy?
If he had some niche idea that didn't have any support, was talking about something that nobody else was talking about, but sadly or not, this has become a mainstream part of conversation, right? This is what a lot of people talk about. This, our job as journalists is to be fair, and you have to ask the questions, you have to ask the tough questions, you have to let the audience ask the tough questions, and you have to do it that way. I think the idea that we in the media and control what the national discussion will be and dictate the terms completely, that's not what you've said, but many have suggested that somehow there is a way to hermetically seal the public space. I don't think that's the way to do it. I think the way to do it is to make it fair, make it clean, and give people the opportunity to make their case, but also hold them to account for what their answers are.
And, you know, I walked right up to that line, Chris. I think you're being kind to me there. I mean, yeah, what I'm essentially saying is I've decided that maybe this guy is too crackpot for legitimate conversation. And maybe as a member of the media, I, John Williams, shouldn't be saying or doing that. Maybe News Nation shouldn't be doing that. Let's put sunlight on this guy and let people decide.
It's very hard for us in the news media to make determinations about how much influence we have and how much influence we don't. I think the 2016 election particularly was a great lesson in misunderstanding the power and role of the press. I don't think you want to provide uncritical time to any candidate. I don't think you want to just say, we're turning the camera on, you talk for as long as you want,
right,
and we're going to beam that across the country for people to consume. But if this was not Elizabeth Vargas, if this was not News Nation, this is not something I would be involved in if I didn't think that the questioning would be tough and fair and that it's not going to be an uncritical space. It's not
fair
going
enough
to be the Joe Rogan podcast. It's going to be Elizabeth Vargas, and she's a pro.
So how challenging is it to fact check some of these people in real time? I did see Kennedy on Fox News the other night, and he was clipping off really alarming, damning, amazing statistics and quote-unquote facts that don't all wash. I imagine that's got to be a challenge for you guys.
I think the thing when you're talking to, and this was very true with Donald Trump, and I think Kennedy is a very Trumpian figure politically. He generates a lot of this attention, a lot of this interest, and a lot of passion among a core group of supporters. If you try to truth squad and fact check every single fact that he put forward, you would bog down immediately because it's just a litany. And some of the things are true. Some of the things are not true. And some of the things are exaggerated. Some of the things are conjecture. He does it rapid fire. The point for a successful town hall is to get him to answer the actual question from the audience. This is the actual question. Don't just filibuster. Don't just bloviate. Answer the actual question and hold him to account to answer the concerns and questions from skeptical audience members. I think that's where you do it, by being an advocate for the real question of the audience, not getting locked in a debate with somebody who, as you say, can marshal lots of information, some good, some bad, some weird.
What's your view of the lay of the land on the Republican side, say, again, where were he to win a primary? Actually, Kennedy might find some favorable ears and eyes. How do you handicap the Republican side right now?
I would love to see what RFK would look like if he ran as a Republican. I think that his support would be more considerable in the Republican Party than it would be in the Democratic Party. And I think a lot of Republicans backed him and have shown interest around him in hopes that he would do what his uncle did and disrupt Democratic incumbent. But I think there's tons of, you know, those Trump kind of Bernie kind of populistic voters who have been drawn to him on the right. And I would be very curious to see what it would look like if he switched registrations and ran as a Republican. And moreover, what does this guy do as an independent candidate in a race that's Trump versus Biden? I think that RFK Jr. would take more votes away from Trump than he would from Biden.
Our best to Elizabeth and News Nation Wednesday night, and I hope you can join us again.
Thanks very much.